Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Man, a great story. You know, very few people have done this. Now, I met some in my life that have. I said, have you ever read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation? So most people say, well, I tried, I started, but I never finished. I said, well, every year, I used to buy those one-year Bibles, New Living Translation, and they were big, thick paperback. And I got one laying in front of me here on my desk. And so I'd wear them out. And so I'd give my kids one every year. Hey, here's your 1 year through the Bible. Read it. If you miss a day, don't go back and try to catch up. If you miss a week, you may miss a month. You're not going to go to hell. Don't worry about it. But you need to read your Bible every day to build up your faith. Build up yourselves on your most holy faith. You need to meditate in the Word of God day and night. Then you'll prosper and have good success. Joshua 1:8, you know, Psalms 1:3. The Word of God is what gives us the power to live life on this planet. There'll be opposition. There's always been opposition. Jesus had opposition every day of his life. He never sinned. The Apostle Paul, that prayed in the Holy Ghost more than anybody, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had opposition everywhere he went. There's always going to be opposition, but the Bible said we'll be more than conquerors, we'll be overcomers. We're going to be the head, not the tail, but you got to start believing God. And so I said, it's not something we have to do. This is something we get to do. It's just an honor to get to believe God. So today we're picking up, I like to call this letting them go. Moses left, ran off in the wilderness 40 years. God spoke to him on the burning bush on the mountain. He comes back with Aaron. And so it's a nasty ping pong match, as we would call it. Me against you, you against me. And whose God's the greatest? Well, Moses knew my God's the greatest, but it's not an automatic thing. It's just not automatic. We're going to get to believe God one step at a time. So Exodus chapter 7. And so if you got a Bible, you can read along, or if you're taking notes, you can just write that down. And so it's an incredible story. People say, well, it's made up. No, it's not made up. It's true. This is a very true story. And so what we're going to do, we're going to start with Exodus chapter 7, about in verse 25. And says, you know, a week later, God told Moses and Aaron, say to Pharaoh, let my people go to worship me. When Pharaoh refused, Aaron did as God commanded. He stretched his rod over the rivers, the lakes, and the ponds. Thousands of frogs came hopping out of the water. Frogs were everywhere, in the people's homes, in the palace. They hopped into beds and into the cooking, into the food. When the magicians tried, they too brought frogs out of the water. Pharaoh was greatly troubled. He had been too stubborn, and he didn't listen. So now he's in trouble. He said, oh, how much he hated that bloody water. Now there are frogs to make him more miserable. Finally, he begged Moses and Aaron to ask God to take the frogs away. I will let your people go to sacrifice to the Lord. He promised. And Moses asked, well, when do you want to destroy God to destroy the frogs? Pharaoh answered, tomorrow. Why didn't he pick today? I don't know. Moses prayed. On the next day, all the frogs died except those in the river. The Pharaoh got stubborn again. He would not let the Israelites go. So there's another plague. This time, Aaron struck the dust with his rod, and the dust became lice and fleas. When the magicians tried, they could not do this. They told Pharaoh, this is the work of God. Still, Pharaoh would not listen. One morning, Pharaoh walked along the river. God sent Moses and Aaron to him. Because you will not let Israel go, they said, tomorrow God will send another plague. Great swarms of flies will fill your palace and the houses of the Egyptians. Everywhere you go, flies will bother you. But there will be no flies in the houses of the Israelites. When the swarms of flies came, Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron again. Tell your people to sacrifice to their god in Goshen, he said. But Moses replied, they will not do. If the Egyptians see us offering sacrifices to God, they would kill us because the Egyptians believed oxen were sacred. They would be angry if they saw the Israelites kill an oxen to sacrifice to God. When Moses refused Pharaoh's offer, the king said, okay, I'll let them go to the wilderness. only do not take them very far away. Moses answered, we must go 3 days' journey. You must not break your promise. But when the flies were gone, Pharaoh grew stubborn again. He refused to let the Israelites go. The next great plague was a cattle disease. Man, I mean, thousands of cattle died in it. The Pharaoh became alarmed. When he sent a messenger to Goshen, he learned that the Israelites' cattle were all alive. They were all well. Even after this, Pharaoh would not let the Israelites go. God kept telling Moses what to do next. The next time, Moses sprinkled a handful of dust in the air before Pharaoh. Painful boils broke out on all the Egyptians. The magicians had so many boils they could not come to Pharaoh. Still, the king would not obey God. Then Moses said, tomorrow there'll be a great hailstorm. All your cattle out in the field will have the people stay in their houses. If they don't, they'll be killed. Some of the Egyptians believed Moses and hurried to their homes. Others did not listen to the warning and stayed in the fields. When the sky grew black and the thunder roared, the Egyptians were afraid. They never heard thunder or seen lightning like this. Hailstones began to fall like as fast as raindrops, and the lightning ran like fire along the ground in the fields. Every living thing was killed, but no storm came to the land of Goshen. Pharaoh was frightened. He called aloud to Moses and Aaron, I have sinned. I and my people are wicked. He promised that the Israelites could go at once if God would stop the great storm. Moses answered, I will speak. I will spread out my hands toward heaven, and as soon as I am outside the city, and the storm will stop. Then you will know that the earth belongs to God, but I and your people, says this, but I know that you and your people do not yet fear God. When the storm passed, Pharaoh looked upon the bright sunshine. His heart grew stubborn again. He was not willing to obey God. The hailstorm had destroyed all growing crops. The wheat and the spelt were unharmed because they had not yet sprouted. The next plague, God told Moses, there would be locusts. They would eat every green thing above the ground. When the Egyptians heard this, they hurried to Pharaoh and said, how long are you going to let these people bother us? Let the Israelites go worship their God. So Pharaoh called to Moses and Aaron again. Whom do you intend to take with you to worship God? Moses said, we will take all of our people and our flocks and our herds. Take only your men and let them sacrifice. He says, keep the women and children here. When Moses left the palace, the Lord said, stretch out your hand for the locusts to come. Moses obeyed. An east wind began to blow. All day, all night it blew. In the morning, a great cloud of locusts appeared in the sky. It covered all of Egypt except the land of Goshen. Again, Pharaoh was afraid and hurried and sent for Moses and Aaron. I have sinned against the Lord your God. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. Pray that God will take away the locusts. Now my people, we will not die. Moses prayed. The Lord sent a strong west wind, and the locusts were blown into the Red Sea, and they drowned. But again, Pharaoh hardened his heart. You know anybody in your life like this? Somebody you think is going to change, but they don't. When you pray, they change, but they don't. They just get stubborn. Stubbornness is a bad sin. It says that God told Moses to stretch his hand toward heaven, and a great darkness would come up on the land. So it was for 3 days and three nights. There was no light, no daylight, no starlight. Pharaoh sent the last time to Moses there, and he said, I will let the people go, but they must not take their flocks and their herds. Moses answered boldly, we will take everything, and when we leave and serve our God. How angry Pharaoh was. He shouted, get out of my sight. If I ever see your face again, I will kill you. Bravely, Moses answered, it will be just as you speak, for you will never see my face again. But know this, God will send one more terrible plague upon you and your people. Then the Israelites will leave your land. Next is chapter 11. It was evening in the land of Goshen, across the barren fields of Egypt. Everything had grown quiet around the walls, the buildings where the Israelites had worked. Never again would the men return to their jobs. The time had come for them to leave Egypt. God told Moses that Pharaoh would send the Israelites out to the land for the last plague. He says, tell the people, get ready to leave. They're going to leave quickly. The Lord said they must start as soon as Pharaoh's messenger comes. The Israelites believed now that God had sent Moses to help them. They obeyed him and his men of God. For many years, they had been slaves. They owned no money. Now, at God's command, Moses told the people, ask the Egyptian neighbors for their jewels of silver. Ask them for their gold. The Egyptians opened up their treasure boxes to the Israelites. Tonight at midnight, Moses said, God will send an angel to the land. The angel will enter every house that does not have blood on the door. The oldest child in every home will die. Moses told the Israelites, kill a lamb for each family. Sprinkle on the door frames the blood of that lamb. Then roast the lamb and cook vegetables for a midnight supper. When the death angel passes over the land, you must be dressed and ready to start your journey. Eat your supper standing around the table. No wonder everybody's in the household of Goshen was very busy. Instead of getting ready for bed, every man, every woman, every child was wide awake and excited. I mean, we're going to be delivered. This is God. All the boys and girls helped gather all the cattle from the pasture and ran errands for the parents. Every father killed the lamb and sprinkled the blood on the door frame of the house. Every mother prepared vegetables to cook for the midnight supper. Then midnight came, Passover. They call it Passover because the angel passed over the houses of those who had obeyed. They passed over the homes that had the blood on the door. They obeyed God. They obeyed Moses. To remind them this night when God saved them from death, God commanded the Israelites to eat such a supper each year at this time. We're going to have every year we still celebrate Passover. Now the Egyptians, they had not sprinkled blood on their door frames or prepared a midnight meal. Every one of them had gone to bed as usual, expecting to sleep all night. But at midnight, they were all awakened, even Pharaoh. He hurried to the bedside of his oldest son and found him dead. Pharaoh cried aloud. In every Egyptian home, there was the same cry, wailing all over the land. At once, Pharaoh sent a swift message to Moses and Aaron and Goshen. They were all awake. They're ready to start out on the journey. Pharaoh wants you all to leave Goshen at once, the messenger said. He demands you take everything with you that you have. He said, do not leave anything behind. The Egyptians, too, sent messengers to Goshen. They wanted the Israelites to get out of the land quickly. We shall all die if they stay here any longer. The Israelites started out for Goshen like a great army. I mean, there's 2.5 million of them. You understand this is a very big crowd of people. This is a lot of people. Said thousands of men, their wives, their children marched out of Egypt. With them went their flocks and their herds. The women had mixed dough in pans for bread, but had not put in the leaven or yeast yet. When they stopped to eat, they baked the dough over fires. Such bread was called unleavened bread. 1 week every year thereafter, the Israelites ate bread without leaven in it. This week was later celebrated as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Among the things the Israelites carried out of Egypt was Joseph's coffin. Before he died, Joseph had requested, when you leave Egypt, take my body with you and bury it in the land of Canaan. So that's what they did. They're loaded. They're ready to go. They're taking everything with them. God showed up. It's an amazing journey. I know they made every year around Easter, you know, you'd watch the Exodus or the Passover. They had so many names for it. Cecil B. DeMille's made the first one, you know, with Charlton Heston. It was great. And as a kid, I saw it at a drive-in movie. Now, I'd always been in church. I've been in church my whole life. I went to Sunday school every Sunday. We never missed. We had camp meeting. We didn't miss camp meeting. We had church on Sunday night. We had church on Wednesday night. We always went to church. He said, were you strong Christians? Well, I was a Christian. I wasn't strong. I carried my Bible. I just didn't read it. As I got older, when I got the spirit-filled businessmen became a big thing in the country, I started hanging out with them, and I realized something. I need to read the book. You know, if you come with the book, I'm going to read the book. And so the children of Israel are leaving. Miracles have happened. God told Moses in the beginning, he'll let you go, but not initially. I'm going to have to work on them. Because God works with and through humans. God does this. He said, listen, he'll let go eventually, but not at first. So now they're leaving. 2.5 million people. They're walking out. Man, this was one long caravan. Where are you going? We're going to the promised land. We're going to the promised land, the land of more than enough, the land flowing with milk and honey, a blessed land and a prosperous land. It's going to be an incredible trip. So we're off and running. So that's going to end our story today. When we come back, we're going to talk about the real famous story about the crossing of the Red Sea. They've made so many specials on cable television, on public television about, well, it really wasn't a deep Red Sea. It was called the Reed Sea. And the reason they could cross was the water was only like knee deep. Well, you know, that's even a bigger myth because God drowned the whole Egyptian army in knee deep water. But it is true. If it's in the Word of God, watch over His Word perform it. It's a true story and it is phenomenal. The more you read it, the more you read about it, the more your faith will grow. It's just an exciting time to be alive. So God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.